Hi, welcome to the program. What's your name? Okay, fine. You know my name. It's Ron. Hi, what's your name? Go on, say it. I can hear you. Oh, that's a pretty name. Seriously? What, were your parents drunk? I believe a lot of people are not named properly. Unless the parents of the newborn have decided the name way ahead of time and agreed upon it, there comes that time when the baby is born, and in the hospital they say, well, we have to do the birth certificate here. What's the name of your child? And you have to pretty much give them the name that you got by mistake, right? Most people hate their name. I don't like my name at all. I don't like it. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's three letters. Can we be a little bit more creative? Ron. Simple crap. My actual birth name is Ronald. I dislike that greatly. I dislike Ronald. It sounds like I'm being chastised in some kind of awkward prep school. It's a horrible. My mother, when she was angry, would call me Ronald. That was the only time that word was ever used. Otherwise, I was Ron or Ronnie when I was growing up. Isn't that cute and adorable, Ronnie? Isn't that adorable? At a certain age, that's got to change. You can't be an executive in a company and, you know, we're going to sell the company for $3 billion and we're going to liquidate all the assets. Let's check with Ronnie. You can't. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Some people have some strange names. Like a Dexter, an Applewood. Applewood's strange. I don't even know what Applewood is. I guess it's a type of wood. I guess apple trees, I'm guessing, I don't know. I don't Google things, so I don't know. I'm not a news show, so this isn't like, I'm just talking. I just talk. I don't know what applewood is. I assume it's the wood of the apple tree, but I don't know. But this is a big fad now. Applewood. Have you heard about applewood? There's applewood bacon. That's the most popular. Yeah, it's the wood from an apple tree, and apparently it has this incredible flavor to it. I don't know because I never sucked on a tree before. But applewood's supposed to be good. So they have this applewood ham and applewood bacon. And I don't understand what that is. I guess they chop up an apple tree. And oddly enough, they don't use the apples. They just use the wood from the tree. Excuse me, it's an apple tree. And yeah, we're going to keep the wood. We're going to throw the apples away. What? Yeah, we don't use the apples here. We just use the wood from the apple tree. Okay, like, is that flavored apples or something? I don't think so. So anyway, so they take the apple wood, and I guess they cure the bacon, not that it's sick to begin with, and it's got this type of apple flavor. It doesn't. Let me tell you something. I seriously, and I'm not kidding about it. This is true, though. I went to the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and a lot since, but I bought they had on sale applewood bacon. Applewood's bacon smoked in applewood, and I didn't know what I thought bacon smoked in applewood, New Jersey. I mean, what is applewood? Apparently, it's so. I buy this thing, it was on sale, and then I cooked up the bacon, and I gotta tell you, it's just freaking bacon. It doesn't smell like apples at all. I don't know what applewood is supposed. It had no flavor beyond what regular bacon would have had. And then I checked the ingredients. And it was the same on that box as it was for a regular box of bacon. There was no difference. I paid more. This was on sale, but normally I would pay more for the applewood, and I don't even know what it is. I think when you go to restaurants, ooh, that's where they really get you. That they try to make the description of the food on the menu as enticing as possible. Yes, it was for a cheeseburger. Ladies and gentlemen, it was for a cheeseburger, $15 cheeseburger, and it said cheese a burger, a fine aged cheddar cheese with applewood smoked bacon. Applewood smoked bacon. Where do you find that? In the Himalayas? I mean, whoa. And then you eat the damn thing. It's like, man, it's bacon. It's, well, yeah, it tastes like any other bacon. But the applewood addition, the word applewood is supposed to make you just feel so special. What'd you have for breakfast? I had applewood. Applewood bacon. Did you really? Yes. And I'm going to have applewood ham and applewood milk and applewood butter. I'm going to have wear an applewood t-shirt. And I'm going to take an applewood dump, and I'm going to have applewood cheese, and then I'm going to drink applewood juice. And
on the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I have been smoked in applewood, too.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, yep, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Oh, no, 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 no. Anyway, okay, yesterday, I'm in the Boston area. Look, see, here I am. No, I'm waving to you. There I am. Hi. I'm in the Boston area. Yesterday, we lost some power, but we got it back. And it snowed 22 inches of snow around my studio. 22 inches of freaking snow. 22 inches of anything is too much. I'm watching the news because there's nothing else to do when you're stuck in the house all day. It's snowing like a bastard. The wind is like 40 miles an hour. Trees have this heavy, wet, pasty snow on it. All the bushes, all the trees are leaning over, branches cracked. It's devastation, ladies and gentlemen. It's winter devastation up here. Driveways are not plowed yet. Streets are hardly plowed. We're still snowed in. It's a lovely existence that we enjoy in this New England area. it's just lovely. All the snow, I don't know where they're going to put it. Perhaps up Mother Nature's ass. I really don't know. That's where it belongs. Right back at you. It's horrible. It's just horrible. And I am sick of it. So I'm watching the news, and they always interview on these newscasts. They always find people walking down the street. Excuse me, it's snowing. It's 22 inches of snow outside. What the hell are you doing outside? What the hell are you doing? And their answer is always this. We love the snow. I know it's a pain, but it's beautiful. There's nothing like snow in New England. We're going to go up to North Country as soon as we can get out of the house and ski. We love the snow. We love to eat it. We love to make sex in it. We cook in it, we preserve it, we love snow, we just love the snow, 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 snow. And I really say to myself, well, if I were a violent man, I would take these two people, get a shovel, and bury them in it, and they can die in their own delight. I mean, seriously, this is a pain in the butt. Do I belong in New England? No. No, I don't belong in snow. I hate snow. I've told you that before. There's no lion here. There's no deceit. I hate snow. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? I told you on a previous show I can't stand Florida. Confuses me. It's too much of an enigma to actually exist in it. I can't go to Texas because people carry guns all the time. They have guns shoved in their private parts just in case. That's a concealed weapon, too. I can't live amongst them. I can't walk around a state where everybody loves to eat cattle. I mean, I'm not into it. California, a little too spacey for me, a little too spacey. I can't go to the beach because I don't tan, I just burn. So what am I going to do? Go to Seattle where it rains every day and people are walking around with clinical depression day and night? No, can't deal with that. Colorado, where they have mass murders all over the place and they're skiing there too and people are very, very strange there. Midwest, they've never even seen the ocean. I mean, how backward can you get there? I mean, it was 5 o'clock. You sit on your porch and you watch the other houses being swept up by tornadoes. There's your Midwest. You want to go to Chicago? What's the life expectancy there in the streets? 10 minutes? Seriously, one of the most violent cities in the country. I don't know why. Otherwise, people very nice, but pretty much snows up there too. New York City? Yeah, I was thinking about it. It doesn't snow all that much, although that whole island's going to be underwater in about 5 years. So, where do you go? Canada? Seriously, that's where all the trouble begins with the cold weather and the snow. I ain't going up there. I like it up there, but it's a little too chilly. I don't have enough jackets. So where do I go? To another country where I'm an outsider all the time? No, I feel like that in my own neighborhood. I don't need to go to another country to feel that way. So what do? You shut up. You shut up. You just shut up. You just shut up and you just shut up.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You know, if there's one lesson that I've learned in life, it's that I haven't learned any lessons. Now, I think here's the difference. When you're young, you're always finding yourself. You're going through experiences that teach you lessons. When you get older, you've been through all the traumas. You've been through most of all the experiences possible. And you've formed an opinion on everything because you've been through everything. It's a learning experience. So I've learned at my age, 27, I don't know. I've learned that I'm a very grumpy individual. I complain about everything. I started listening to people's conversations recently. I'm very analytical. This is why I do this radio show, and I've been doing radio and TV for like decades and decades and decades. It's because I listen too much. I see things and I process them differently than you do. You look at them and you go, oh, there's a table. I look at the table and I say to myself, I wonder if that's applewood. And what about that applewood bacon? I mean, you see, that's what my mind goes through. It just never stops. It just breaks things down and then builds them up and breaks them down again. So I found that my mode of communication is through complaining. And then I started to listen to other people talk in conversations. And I noticed that 90% of all conversations are based around complaining about something. A very small percentage, and this is not a scientific analysis of any sort. There was no survey taken. This is my observances, which are always correct. Here's the deal. Very small percentage, anybody talking about how wonderful something is. It's 80% of people talking about how bad something is or how horrible something is or complaining about something. And that's the way we relate to each other. Did you ever go online, whatever that thing is, that internet thing? Did you ever go on Facebook? Stupid thing. By the way, I haven't been on Facebook in 6 weeks. Love it. I love it. I feel free. I'm able to go to the bathroom regularly. It's wonderful. Facebook is like 99% complaining about something. Or if you're just posting a picture of a hamburger with applewood bacon on Facebook, which is what some people do, you will always get a comment that says, you're going to die if you eat that. Or then somebody else says, oh, die, I die. People, Obama sucks. It's just, you know, it just turns political. It turns horrible. Everything turns horrible immediately on Facebook. Everybody, the opinion, comments pages just turn ugly very, very quickly. That's our society, man. This is how we spend most of our life complaining about things. That's why I've carved out this little niche on this radio show about complaining about everything, about wondering about how things actually are what they are in an absurd world. Works for me. Pays my rent. Anyway, speaking about snow, which I wasn't. Oh my goodness! So 22 inches of snow here yesterday. People still digging out. It's really horrendous. It's horrible. I'm kind of stuck in the studio today. I'm waiting for a plow to come. Waiting for my plow to come. Most people waiting for the money to come in. I'm waiting for my plow to come. I looked up Farmer's Almanac and the Old Farmer's Almanac. There's a Farmer's Almanac and there's an Old Farmer's Almanac. Just like there is the New Testament and the Old Testament and the even newer than that Testament and the even older than that Testament. A lot of testaments. The Farmer's and the Old Farmer's Almanac, both predicted major storms for March 1st to 10th. In the New England area. And they were right. I don't know how they do that. But they were actually right. Now, they're wrong a lot, but they were right on this. And according to them, there's another little storm, or good-sized storm, coming up the third week of March, which is just a week away. So I'm really excited about that. I don't know where to move to. That's a problem. I don't know where to move to. I've got to get the hell out of here, but I don't know where to go. I have no idea. Costa Rica? Oh! Now you're talking, huh? All right. Anyway, my guest later on in the program is Jill Geisler. We've talked to her before. She's with the Newseum. Not the museum, the Newseum. It's in Washington, D.C. It's next to the Smithsonian and all that stuff. And it's a museum of news. It's news and news reporting and the media through the years. And, of course, it covers all the incredible events of our lifetime with some incredible artifacts. It's the Newseum, and we're going to speak to them. They've always got rotating exhibits. It was rotating something. I couldn't put my finger on what it was. Not that I wanted to put my finger on anything, to be honest with you. Putting your finger on things is probably not a great idea. Do you wash your hands every day? Do you wash every day? Of course you wash your hands every day. How often do you wash your hands? I wash my hands frequently, I'm finding, in the winter. Because I've been told that everything has germs on it. And, the strangest things have the most germs. TV remote controls, tons of germs on them. I've never seen I've never seen anybody wipe their nose on the remote control. I really never have. But apparently it's got a lot of germs because people are touching that thing all day. Cell phones, germs like you wouldn't believe. Germs and germs and germs on cell phones. You put it up to your face. You basically kiss your cell phone. You basically make love to it. It's in your pocket. It's in your pants. It's everywhere. It's cell phones. You put it down on dirty tables, on counters, on carpets, on chairs. Think about all the places you put your cell phone in the space of one day, and then you hold it up to your face, and then you touch your face with your fingers, and you lick your fingers. I mean, it's just cell phones, disgusting things. When you think of that, you want to wash your hands continually. I don't use those hand sanitizer things. I don't quite understand them. I don't get it. That's like rubbing soap on your hands and then just saying, okay, I'll wait for it to evaporate. I don't quite understand where the hand sanitizer... I mean, I wash my hands maybe 5 times a day, depending on stuff. Do you ever refuse to shake somebody's hand? I do if they look really filthy. Every once in a while, I'll come across a really filthy-looking person, and I won't shake their hand. I'll just bow like an Oriental person. I've said this on the show before as well. I think that is the perfect way of addressing somebody, showing respect. You bow to them just a little bit, not a lot, not in a subservient thing, but just, you know, a tiny little forward motion of the body, a little bow. I think that's really, really cool. That is so respectful, and yet you don't have to touch anybody at all. You don't even have to get close to them. You can bow to them like from 6 feet away, and it's still acceptable. If you really like them, you bow really a lot, but I don't bow that much. I don't like anybody that much either. That little bow, I like that. The high five, get out with that crap. Who started that? That is the stupidest. Slap me five. What? Slap you nothing. Slap you five. You know, the handshake was originally to show that you had no guns, no weapons on you, so you would extend your arm, and that would be the symbol that I'm not armed here. I will extend my arm because I'm not armed, and I'm greeting you with open arms. And then somehow we got into the slap me five. What the hell is, what's violent? That's violent. And some people slap really hard. That's not a greeting. That's an assault. Slap me five? Don't tell me what to do. Slap your own five. Slapping is not acceptable. No slapping. Nobody slaps anymore. You don't slap people. Five or two or one or ten. No slapping. No slapping. I will bow to you a little bit. If you bow back to me, then it's mutual. If I bow and you don't bow, I'll slap you five. Slap you five right across the face. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, my guest will be joining me. We're going to talk about the museum in Washington, D.C. It's really quite an incredible place. It is. You'll love it. Dope slap, perhaps?
Are you aware that 1 in every 7 Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Jill, how are you today?
I'm well, sir.
Fantastic. Jill Geisler joins us. She's the Newseum Institute Fellow in Women's Leadership, and we're talking about the Newseum, and they're constantly changing their exhibits and their subject matter, and there's a new one going on right now. Are you in Washington?
I am speaking to you from Washington,
there
Ron.
There you go. The D.C. one, am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
I guess there's two of them now. Okay.
Yeah.
the Newseum, by the way, let's tell everybody what the Newseum is for those that may not be familiar. It's new, but it's not new.
Well, it really, I call it the epicenter of journalism in this country. Mm-hmm. It's history, what it stands for, great exhibits, how reporters have covered society in this country and all over the world. It is a wonderful place to bring your family.
Fantastic. And the exhibits, which change, you know, every once in a while, are very topical, and especially this one. My goodness, we're talking about the Me Too movement, and there it is, like already set up to see.
Well, actually, this is a project as opposed to an exhibit,
okay.
And it's a project that's going to go on throughout the year. Can I tell you a little bit of the backstory?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, when all of the scandals started emerging in media, mm-hmm. you know, Matt Lauer lost his job, Charlie Rose lost his job, you know, they heard about the Harvey Weinsteins, people here at the museum said, if we really care about not just the media organizations, but our own country, every business, mm-hmm. we ought to be doing something about this problem. And so in January, we gathered media leaders, 130 of them, in addition to people who represent media outlets, including those who have been dealing with these scandals. We brought in victims, we brought in experts in law and in government to talk about how serious this problem is and what can be done about it. And we're doing some things about it.
Yeah, well, everybody's trying to do things about it, that's for sure. And certainly the topic and the conversation is paramount and at the top of everything now. And of course, it's not just the news media that suffers from this problem. It's your office where you work, no matter where that may be. You know, it goes on everywhere, but it tends
exactly.
to be people in power where we talk about it the most. And certainly, the media is a place of power, as is Washington D.C. and Congress, etc.
Absolutely, and that was one of the key findings. Mm-hmm. First of all, government figures say that it's probably 60% of women, if you ask, if you mm-hmm. poll them, if you survey them, who have had bad sexual harassment experiences.
Right.
And that can range from, you know, completely inappropriate, sexually explicit conversations mm-hmm. to touching to even far worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've determined is that it often happens to the people who have the least amount of power. And so the very first program that we're doing out of the blocks is called Power to the Interns. It's a program that we're going to be live streaming here from the museum on Friday, March 2nd at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. But even if you don't see the live stream, we are going to archive that program in 30-minute chunks so that people who don't have formal training processes, both at the university level or at the employer level or even as individual students, they'll be able to take advantage of that material and use it in their workplaces and schools.
Great, great. Tell me about the other things going on at the museum besides this ongoing.
Oh, my goodness.
Piece.
Well, of course, it's going to be cherry blossom season here in
yeah.
D.C.
Yeah.
There's that, and of course, you have to come for that and then see the museum at the same time. There's also a civil rights commemoration here. But on any given day, what you can see here at the museum reminds you of the importance of people telling difficult truths about our country, celebrating its successes and really chronicling its history. And you get a chance to do some hands-on things while you're here, and it is a perfect place to bring your family.
Yes. I mean, Washington, D.C. has become the government Disney World, where, well, you do the
sure.
tours of the government facilities. You go to the Smithsonian, you go to the museum, and it's part of the deal. It's like you are SeaWorld. You know, that's just the way
it
right.
is. That's right. Yeah. And I think, you know, what's so important about the museum is that we do celebrate the joys and we celebrate the tragedies in this country.
Yeah.
And right now, we know journalism is a little bit under siege in this country.
Yeah.
People like to talk about fake news. Well, if you want to see real news and you want to see the stories that are important to your life and remember them, come here. And that's why, again, this
right.
story, sexual harassment, has become bigger. It's not that it didn't exist before. It's that for once we've opened up the conversation about it, and people who really care about making a difference, including my colleagues here at the museum.
Certainly.
And I have to tell you, I'm a university professor. I teach at Loyola University in Chicago. I asked my students, I said, how many of you have been a subject of sexual harassment? And I was so sad to see so many hands
sure.
go up in my class. And this is young people.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see the real news and what the media does for this country in keeping it honest and Democratic, you go to the museum. If you want the balance for the fake news, you just go down the street to the White House. So it's all there.
Oh.
It's all there. Okay. All right. So
I don't know that there's ever been an administration that thought it was covered fairly, but I don't know of those that
yes.
tend to assault the media quite as much
correct.
As, the,
right.
as the current status.
Yes, in order to, yes. Anyway.
Yeah, media is not enemies of the people.
No, actually, it's the opposite, and it's the media that has saved our ass through history. So I hope people understand that and realize that. Now, how do we get more information about the museum?
Glad you asked. If you want to know about any of these programs that we're doing that are going to eradicate sexual harassment, go to museum.org/powershiftproject. I'll repeat that, museum.org/powershiftproject. And we are posting all of the resources for people who want to make a difference in their university, in their workplace, and in their lives.
And if you go to Washington, D.C. at all, this is a stop and actually very frequently a reason to go. So thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you for your time. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you go. There you go. There you go. Too bad it's in Washington, D.C., a place that annoys me at this time, so I will not go there. But someday I will go to that museum. Anyway, when once again I'm proud to be in that particular seat of government capital, right now not too proud of it. Hey, a little message for Donald Trump. You listening, Don? Don, let's go to the White House. Come on, White House, let's go. Well, the President of the United States fired the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, in a tweet. I just don't even know how to even say anything about that. The stupidity and infantile method is just, I don't even know what to say. I'm just so embarrassed for what. Anyway, this President Trump guy, he says he's getting close to having the cabinet that he actually wants. And let me ask you something, Don. This cabinet that you had before, did someone force that upon you? Was it somebody else's cabinet? No, you chose these people, Don. You hand chose them. And then you fired them because they didn't work out. First of all, perhaps your choosing sucks. You're not a good chooser. You don't hire people really well. You don't even fire them well. You don't even do it face-to-face. You just do it in a tweet, and they find out from everybody else that they were fired. I mean, what kind of boss are you? Sleazeball, perhaps? Stupid? Getting closer to the cabinet I really want. Maybe you should chastise yourself, Don, for putting in the cabinet that you didn't want originally. That's like going to a store and buying a cabinet. You say, I love this cabinet. I want to buy this cabinet. And then a couple of months later, I don't know what I was thinking. This isn't the cabinet I want. I didn't want this cabinet. But you chose that cabinet. You bought that cabinet. Now, that wasn't the one you wanted. It was the one you wanted. You chose it. You bought it. It's always blaming somebody else. Even when there's nobody else to blame, he's getting closer to getting the cabinet that I actually wanted. You're actually blaming yourself without blaming yourself. It's artful. It's artful. It's not the art of the deal. It's the art of the bullshit. That was the book that you wrote, Don. You just put the wrong title on it. All right. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Will you join me then? Come on, commit. Commit for once in your life, will you? Thank you. I have a lot to ask. I don't think I'm asking a lot of you. I'm just asking to come back tomorrow for another show. Is that a lot to ask? You can't carve out like half an hour for me in the space of the entire day? It's not like exercise. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there. I'll do everything for half an hour. So tomorrow? Yeah? Good.